Today, for our scripture readings, we have two. We've got a reading from the prophet Jeremiah and another one from the Gospel of Luke. Before we hear these scriptures read, let's join in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are thankful that you come to us in the vibrancy of your word. You teach us, you instruct us, you point us to the way you want us to go, and by your Spirit, you help us to walk in it. We pray this morning, O Lord, that you will open our lives and our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive your word, and not only to hear it, but to act upon it and to live it out as we seek to follow you in the way of Jesus. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. First of all, a reading from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, you are welcome to do so. The Lord's word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Ah, Lord God, I said, I don't know how to speak, because I'm only a child. The Lord responded, don't say I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. What I tell you, you must say. Do not be afraid of them, because I am with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth and said to me, I'm putting my words in your mouth. This very day I appoint you over nations and empires to dig up and pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord.
And I will be reading from Luke 13, 10 through 17. And this is the story that Art was talking about in children's time. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. When he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said, Woman, you are set free from your sickness. He placed his hands on her, and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader, incensed that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded, There are 6 days during the week which work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath day. The Lord replied, Hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from its stall and lead it out to get a drink? Then isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said these things, all his opponents were put to shame. But all those in the crowd rejoiced at all the extraordinary things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Have you ever been asked or called by someone to do something you thought you couldn't possibly do? Our scripture readings for today tell us of two men who responded in opposite ways to God's call. When God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah resisted. I'm only a child. I don't know how to speak. He was bent over He couldn't stand up straight. God didn't take no for an answer. He touched Jeremiah's lips and gave him words and courage to speak. What a contrast Jesus is. At the young age of 30, Jesus goes for and willingly receives baptism to live out God's call. And he receives the power of the Holy Spirit coming down upon him and filling him. According to Luke, Jesus confidently announces his mission in the synagogue in Nazareth when he is invited to teach. He quotes from Isaiah 61, the scripture reading for that day. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." During the next 3 years, Jesus is often invited to teach in synagogues on the Sabbath. In today's reading, as we heard last Sunday, Jesus is on his final journey with his disciples from Galilee to Jerusalem, a journey that he knows will end in his death. On the way, Jesus teaches growing crowds and heals those who seek his help. But his main aim is to prepare his disciples to continue his work after he is gone. Now in Luke chapter 13, we find Jesus teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. I wonder what he was teaching about. Don't you? What scripture might he have been teaching from? What were his comments? Luke doesn't tell us. Instead, he tells us of an action that Jesus did in the middle of his teaching. His eye suddenly catches sight of a woman who is there. She has been disabled, Luke says, by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. I wonder if she was standing bent over when Jesus saw her. Maybe she couldn't even sit down. Can you imagine what that would be like? She is restricted. She can only look at the ground or sideways. She can't look other people in the eye or up at the sky. She has to crane her neck to see what is ahead of her and around her. Luke does not say she was demon-possessed. He says only that a spirit had crippled her, a spirit of weakness or infirmity. Her disability was not her fault. It simply kept her from standing up straight and walking and running with ease. Luke says Jesus did three things with this bent over woman. First, Jesus saw her. He noticed her. He did not just give a quick glance and look away and continue teaching. He paused, interrupted the teaching. He observed her. He entered into her life and saw all the pain and struggle she had endured for 18 years. He looked at her with compassion. Here we have it, the teacher who is willing to interrupt the teaching to look after the needs of a person. Second, Jesus proclaimed the gospel to her. He did not go to her. He told her to come to him. She did not ask him to heal her. He did not ask her if she had the faith to be healed. He simply said, "Woman, you are free from your sickness. You are literally untied or released." He proclaimed to her the gospel of liberation. Third, Jesus touched her. Luke says that he placed his hands on her, and at that moment, she stood up straight. Jesus did exactly what God had called him to do, as he said back in that Nazareth synagogue on that earlier Sabbath day, to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. Here is radical grace, offering what this woman had not asked for, offered freely, without any conditions. Jesus often healed people who came and asked to be healed. Sometimes he asked if they believed he could heal them. Sometimes he asked if they had faith, but not this time. He took the initiative with her, reached out to her, touched her, and raised her up. Luke tells us the woman immediately stood up straight and began praising God. Can you think of what that would be, interrupting that Sabbath service? For the first time in 18 years, she could look people in the eye. She could turn around and walk with ease. She had been freed from what restricted her, totally liberated. I would have expected that all in that synagogue would be praising God with her, but that is not what happened. The synagogue leader was incensed, Luke says. He was livid. All he could see was that Jesus, in healing this woman, had worked on the Sabbath. He was thinking of the Old Testament command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall do no work on the Sabbath, neither you, your son, your daughter, your slave or servant, or even your animals. No work was to be done on the Sabbath. And healing was work. This woman was not dying. Jesus could have stuck around and healed her the following day. He said to Jesus and to the woman, "There are 6 days for working. Come and be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath." But Jesus does not take this sitting down. He turns to the ruler and says, "You leaders are hypocrites. You teach one thing and you do another. Doesn't each of you untie your ox or your donkey on the Sabbath and lead it out to get water? You work to meet the needs of your animals on the Sabbath, just like farmers have to work to milk their cows on the Sabbath and collect the eggs from the chickens. How much more should the needs of human beings be met?" Jesus is giving new meaning to the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy 5, the Sabbath is connected to rest. The Sabbath rest is connected to God freeing Israel from bondage to slavery in Egypt. Jesus acts in that spirit of liberation and in the spirit of what he said to the Pharisees in Mark's gospel, who criticized him for letting his disciples pluck and eat grains of wheat that they gathered from the fields they were passing by on the Sabbath. "The Sabbath is made for humankind," Jesus said, "not humankind for the Sabbath." Jesus restores the Sabbath to be not only a day of rest and worship, but a day for renewal of life and health, a day of liberation from bondage. This was not the first time that Jesus offered healing on the Sabbath. According to Luke, Jesus healed on the Sabbath 3 other times, 2 of them also in other synagogues. Jesus casts the unclean demon out of a man who shouts at him while he was teaching in the Capernaum synagogue, Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. He heals a man with a withered hand in another synagogue, Luke 6, 6 to 11. And he will later heal a man with dropsy, which is a condition that had excess fluid in the body. And that happened while on the way to Sabbath dinner at a Pharisee's house, Luke 14, 1 to 6. In every case, it is Jesus who initiates those healings. Notice what Jesus said next to the synagogue leader. "Isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" Daughter of Abraham. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. No other woman in all of Scripture had ever been called a daughter of Abraham. Men are called sons of Abraham, but a woman is never called a daughter of Abraham. Here is further liberation. Women in the biblical world were to be subservient to men. Indeed, we talked about that in our Sunday school lesson today. Sabbath worship in the synagogues was primarily for men. Women could come, but they had to sit in the back or in the back balcony, and they had to keep their mouths shut. Jesus sets this woman free from male domination, as he did throughout his ministry. Jesus is about both personal, social, and communal liberation. I think most people in that synagogue got it, all except the leaders. Luke says they all rejoiced at the extraordinary things that Jesus was doing, but the leaders who opposed him were ashamed. Let's put ourselves into this story. With whom in this story do you most identify? The crowd of worship, worshipers, the Jewish leaders, Jesus, or the woman? If you see yourself as one of the crowd, why did you come to worship in that synagogue on that Sabbath day? Did you come because you genuinely wanted to worship God? Or were you there because the law required you to be there? Were you there because you did not want to get a tongue lashing from one of the synagogue leaders for skipping worship? If then was now, some of us would come to worship when it suits, maybe many of us. And we sure don't see anything wrong with doing things like taking care of chores or going out to eat or shopping on the Sabbath, on Sunday. Well, that's not the way it was when I was a boy. After church, we were to join others for dinner and afternoon fellowship, or to stay at home Sunday afternoon and read and do quiet things. We couldn't go out and play ball or go swimming. I remember one Sunday afternoon, our family took a drive out into the country. And at the end, we stopped at a local Tasty Freeze on the way home, and Dad bought us all ice cream cones to eat. That evening, Mom got sick. She was sure that was God's judgment for buying on Sunday. Never again. My, how times have changed. Then again, maybe seeing what Jesus does for people around us causes us to give praise to God like that synagogue crowd and be liberated from all of those Sabbath restrictions. Perhaps you see yourself as a synagogue leader. You are certainly not going to miss Sunday worship unless you are sick or on vacation. You look over the congregation when you come in to see who is missing. You feel great satisfaction that you keep the Lord's Day holy, while inwardly judging others who seem not to. And heaven forbid if anyone disrupts our orderly worship. Might you identify yourself with Jesus? You seek to live and walk in his way. You reach out to those who are bent over, to those who are bound. You try to befriend them. You seek to understand them and their needs. You do what you can to help them. If they are poor, you give of your time and means to help them. You make sure they have enough food to eat. You give of your time and finances to provide housing for the homeless. You visit and pray for the sick and those who grieve. You take people who have no transportation shopping or to medical appointments. Maybe you identify most with the woman. You come to worship, but sometimes you feel bent over. Perhaps you struggle with chronic illness or depression. Perhaps you are bent over by dysfunction in your family. Maybe you are bent over with some addiction. Maybe you can't get free from a spirit of anger or judging others. Perhaps you see something of yourself in all of these characters: the crowd, the leaders, Jesus, the woman. Whatever it is that bends us over, Jesus comes to us. He tells us to stand up straight. He touches us, and you and I are able to stand up straight. We are liberated. We are set free. Jesus calls all of us this morning to stand up straight. He sets you women and girls free to stand up straight and be the beautiful, gifted persons God has created you to be. Jesus sets us men and boys free from the need to dominate and maintain authority over women and girls. Jesus sets us free as women and girls and men and boys together to be equal partners with him and one another. Jesus calls us all together to help each other stand up straight and get free from whatever binds us and bends us over. We are together a community of healing and of the liberating Spirit of God. Jesus calls us together to help him bring in the reign of God on earth as it is in heaven. So let us all stand up straight together. Amen.